Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with David Slack. Morena, David, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. A little bit of a sniffle, but I think that's just the weather.
Stay away, coronavirus. Yeah. That's good. That's good to hear, though. And we're talking about coronavirus, of course, this morning. We're talking about our COVID quarantine that's going on at the border. And a bit of a messy couple of weeks of that news coming out of there, especially all of this that we've seen in the last 2 days about 51 out of 55 patients who were allowed to leave on compassionate grounds not having had testing done before they left, which has caused a bit of a mess for the government to deal with now. What are your thoughts about this whole situation we're going through at the moment? What do you think it sort of says about us as a country, also about the way it's being managed? What's it all about, David?
Maybe I'll do the second one first, the way it's been managed. I was really dismayed when I first heard about the two sisters being out on compassionate leave and the system clearly failing. And you know, the whole thing about going to level one is that whatever it mattered before about protecting the borders, it really, really matters now. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that that wasn't happening. And it brought back memory of how in those first weeks before we got to a lot, any level, but there was border control, it became very clear that the actual implementation of it was lax as hell. And that was really frustrating to see. And you'd have thought on the experience of that, that they would have been especially mindful and that in the transition they'd have been especially careful to ensure that that border protection was robust, and they didn't, and that's really frustrating. To go to your, and I'll come back to that again in a moment, but now to go to that first point about what it says about us, well, we lost our shit. There's no clear about that. There's no doubt about that. And some of it, I think, was warranted, and some of it was just a momentum building from that that really wasn't, because if you compare our situation to the rest of the world, this has been achieved. What has been achieved has been really, really, really effective and really good. And you've got to give some credit for that. Furthermore, maybe it's because you recognise the value of that, that the reaction
that's
was just so extreme.
Cross,
yeah, it certainly was for me. You know that you know that it's not easy to get to there, and you sure as hell don't want to have to do it again.
No.
You hope like hell that there is no community transmission out of this, and so far, so good. And if that's the case, and if we've learned from it, then let's, for God's sake, not have a third time where we have to say, wasn't the execution of this better? And I think there's something else that you can draw from this, and that is that you see this a lot, not just in bureaucracy, but in the operation of any business at all.
Yeah.
The moment they have to do something out of the ordinary or different, they completely fail. If something you're doing that involves something unusual that the insurance company or the phone company haven't struck before, they're all flat-footed and they bounce you from one person to another and nothing can happen. We are like that. We're just not as fleet-footed or, as to use the jargon, nimble as we'd like to flatter ourselves we are.
Yeah.
Well, now imagine that in the context of running a whole transformed public service for the purpose of protecting us from COVID-19, you just know it's going to be hard to make it work properly. And
sure.
And I think it has been demonstrated that the most effective means of running that is probably the military, and that's where we've landed. And that gives me comfort.
I'm really interested in what you think, David, about these potential calls we're seeing. Cabinet's going to have a look at this idea of maybe making some of these people pay who are coming in quarantine. And we've seen a little bit of pushback on that idea from the National Party, who are saying residents shouldn't have to pay. Maybe essential workers or people coming from overseas for work stuff should be paying, but not residents. And other people are just saying no one should be paying. There's quite a lot of discussion around this. Cabinet, of course, hasn't actually talked about it yet, but what are your thoughts on it?
We have to pay for a passport, for example. You know, there's not a zero cost to coming in and out of the country, and there is, compared to the cost we've all gone through of the 5 weeks lockdown, I can see an argument for it. Mm-hmm. You'd want to be careful about it, though. You'd want to be really careful, because the moment people are actually paying, that's when they become absolutely vocal about their rights. I'm paying for this, and you're not giving me... proceed to recite very long laundry list of what's wrong with this hotel and the room service.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll get all of that, and you've clearly got a very excited media who will happily recount all of those tales of agony and woe. So there's that. There's also a kind of a moral principle of these are people who probably, if you think about it a little more carefully, have to come back. They're not necessarily saying, I was having a great time in London, but now it looks like it's better in New Zealand, I'll go home. It's rather more likely, for many cases, that it has a lot more to do with whether they've got a job, whether they've got a right to be there, a visa. And, you know, there are rights of citizenship that you do have to recognise.
Totally,
so you have to be careful about all of that.
Also, something I think that has been talked about a lot across this whole lockdown period, but is this element of grief, and when people are having to deal with grieving or losing people that they love. Of course, we've seen huge debate around this with tangihanga and funerals during lockdown and when we had physical distancing measures in place. And now, of course, a lot of the conversation about what's going on with our border quarantine is to do with people who are here for compassionate reasons, for grief and stuff. This is a hugely strange time. We've never really had to live through something like this as a country. And I guess that when you think about it, yes, of course, we've got to keep that border safe, and we've got to make sure that we don't have big spikes again. But we are talking about people who are going through really horrible, horrible things.
We are, although you've touched on something that is an invitation to digression for me, because it's my new favourite subject of the last year or so.
Please digress.
After years and years of ignoring my mortality because of a young heart attack, I sort of got really... engaged with it last year because of a Going West Festival session I chaired on death and dying and how we deal with it. And one of the things that emerged from it, from one of the writers, was this notion that in other cultures, you don't necessarily rush into a ceremony or a burial. You actually have at least a week, maybe a month. The whole process is much longer, because actually, we all know this. In those first few days, it's just... You're stricken.
Yeah.
It takes weeks and months and years even to unpack all of the grief of it. And I'm saying all of this by way of context of saying, actually, if you have a ceremony a week, a month, 2 months later, nothing is necessarily lost. And at the risk of being crass, they're not going anywhere. and so maybe what's missing here is some opportunity for gathering online as an interim point where you actually deal with the immediate crisis, trauma and grief. But you recognise that there's going to be a ceremony 2 weeks, 3 months from now. And that way you take care of those very, very pressing concerns, but you take care of the more pressing concern and the greater priority, which is we've got a goddamn pandemic that we're trying to protect ourselves from. You know, first 3 months to get to the first million cases, in the last 8 days, another million. I mean, this thing is rolling. It is far
really
from spent.
Hitting that exponential curve right now. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we've kind of fancy that we're okay here, and before long we'll have a trans-Tasman bubble and all of that sort of thing. Bro, that ain't happening soon. There's no way you can. We have to recognise that there are no good options here. You're figuring the least bad one.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Well, David, it's been a pleasure to talk to you about it all this morning.
Likewise.
And we'll have you on in a couple of weeks for another
chat.
Maybe
we'll talk about the Simpson Report next time, because there is a lot to talk about there.
We have a lot to talk about there with the Simpson Report, but, I mean,
it's not going away either.
It's also not going away. Thank you so much, David Slack.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
You certainly